Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Cordelia Aisha Muhammad. For Religion Means Alive, today's date is December the 19th, 2016. And tonight's topic is, Can Your Marriage Relationship Survive Infidelity? First and foremost, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to see another day, being able to use my faculties, being able to see, hear, touch, feel. We should thank Allah for, because He didn't have to wake us this morning, and He could have taken our sight away. He could have taken a lot of things away from us, and He gave it to us on a whole, where we're not using a machine or an aided device to help us throughout the day. So alhamdulillah, that's something to be extremely grateful for. Tonight I'm going to do the topic. It's unformatted, so I'm not, you know, quoting anything directly from Quran or Hadith, or I haven't researched this particular topic. But it's something that I see day in and day out on, you know, social networks. And unfortunately, this is something that happened to me as well, and resulted in me being divorced. It's a very hard topic to talk about because, you know, in Islam, we have a different set of principles when we talk about these types of topics. So from Islamic perspective, without having your witnesses or someone confirming that they committed such a sin, and they don't have to admit it, and it's better for them not to admit it, you know, it's handled in a different way as far as the resolution and moving forward in this type of situation. And something that, you know, I witnessed, and something that, you know, I see readily happening is, you know, the brothers who are, you know, involved in marriages, and they have stepped outside of their marriages. And, you know, unfortunately, we can't prove it, but, you know, when you have women calling you, when you have women inboxing your spouse, telling her that you were with him and things like this, you know, it's hard not to accept that. Or, you know, it's very hard not to say, okay, he didn't do it. You know, it's very hard when someone is constantly harassing you about your spouse, and this person is not married to them. And, you know, we can't speculate in Islam, so a lot of times the brothers use this as an excuse, like, you're crazy, you're imagining things, I'm not dealing with her in a sexual manner, and, you know, rightfully so in Islam, he's not supposed to expose his sins. So he uses this as a platform to continue the shenanigans, which, you know, this is something that causes not just only a betrayal of trust. This also forms a lack of empathy from the spouse. It creates a lot of hostility in the marriage. It also makes the spouse more withdrawn, and they, you know, don't want to be open about it. And, you know, with this being a constant thing that goes on, it's just very, very hurtful and very demeaning to the other spouse. There's no good word for it. you know, there it's very despicable that, you know, brothers play these types of games with sisters and their feelings and things like this, and this is why the level of divorce is so high within the Islamic community. You know, I come from an era where your parents, even though something as serious as infidelity occurred, I come from the era where, you know, this is not something that you just divorce the person and move on. What happens is that you just suck it up, put it behind you, and move forward. And, you know, it doesn't even matter if this person created a child with that person. You are to just put that behind you and move forward for the sanctity of your marriage. And that's the era that I came from. Like, you know, divorce wasn't something that was readily done, even outside of Islam. You know, this is something that you just dealt with. You dealt with the infidelity. You didn't leave your husband, and you stuck, you know, by his side through it all, regardless of, you know, the outcome. In today's time, we don't do that at all, especially in the Islamic community, in the Muslim community, because if something like this goes on, you divorce. You just divorce, you don't deal with the issue, and you move on. This is why we have the revolving door in Islamic marriages. And it's something that needs to be addressed. Of course, when it comes to infidelity, it's a bigger issue to look at. Now, we all know when a man steps out on his wife, the woman is expected to deal with that. She's expected to deal with that. She's expected to suck it up and accept his infidelity and just move on. Pretend that it didn't happen, that it didn't occur, and that, you know, once you get past this hurdle, everything is going to be okay. Sometimes that's the case. Some women can, you know, deal with it and move on. And other women, you know, can't. They just can't get past, you know, this that you took the time, the money, and the energy to put into this other relationship. And a relationship that's not even halal. And that's where, you know, for the Muslim listeners, I think that's what hurts Muslim women the most about the situation is that you can have four wives. So there's no need for you to be out there fornicating with someone else that you can make your wife and, you know, make it halal. So from the Muslim standpoint, it's more deeply hurtful when this happens, because all you have to do is, even though, you know, your wife might not agree with you taking on a second wife, and we all know that there are stipulations and rules and guidelines behind that, if you are to take on a second wife, you have to be able to make sure you're maintaining your first home before taking on another wife. So if you are financially stable to be able to do that, you should go and marry this person and not fornicate with them. So when this does happen within the Islamic community, this is something that's a woman down to the fabric, because you could have married that person instead of, you know, fornicating with them. And again, let's, you know, be clear, and I said this in my show when I did it for polygyny, that I don't think, and me being a woman, and I was in polygyny before, me being a woman, it's not a matter of the husband getting a second wife. Yes, that causes some jealousy, but it's not the main reason why these sisters are so against polygyny. And I'll state real quickly what the issue is. Sisters have problems with polygyny because the men aren't maintaining their first home. That's the problem. Yes, jealousy falls into that category, but that's not the main issue. If you were properly having sex with your wife, maintaining all your bills, taking care of the children, and making sure your wife is stable and has a good environment to raise the children in, she's properly maintained and taken care of, she would not have a problem with you going to get a second wife. She would be a little bit jealous because, yes, that's in our nature to be jealous. But I'm telling you, she would not wow out, as they say. She would not cut the fool if those things were being met. These sisters are outraged when these brothers go take on a second wife, and they're not even maintaining their homes. The sister is working, paying all the bills, and you won't talk about you won't go get another wife. This is where that problem comes in. And then what happens is the brother knows that he can't financially take care of another wife, so he goes and just fornicates. But then that gets back to the sister, and it's just like a slap in the face because it's like you're wanting to act on your own accord and fulfill your nafs. You know, your nafs are going to lead you to the hellfire, and you should fear Allah. If you have one wife, be thankful for the one wife that you have because some people don't even have that. They're praying to get where you're at. Now, on the flip side, and I have talked into people, you know, people have contacted me on Facebook and things like that about, you know, different situations in, you know, marriage. And, of course, you know, I'm no scholar. I don't have a PhD. I don't have any of those particular credentials behind my name. But I did go to school for social work, and we had to take psychology and a couple other college courses, you know, to obtain when I received my bachelor's degree. So I do know a little bit about the whole, you know, process and things like that, about relationships and how people work and things like that. But when women cheat, if a woman cheats on her husband, the whole world is going to collapse. Men can't deal. I'll give you a perfect example. A man could have cheated 50 times, and his wife took him back all 50 times. And this is what he expects from her. He expects no matter what I do, she's going to stay there, and she's going to be there, and she's going to tolerate whatever I do. This is how men think. Now, if a woman went out and slept with one person, the whole world has collapsed. The man won't even look at her no more. Even though he cheated on her 50 times, he will no longer look at her. He would not want to touch her. He would not want to be with her. And he would divorce her immediately. This is how it goes. Because a woman is not expected to do these type of things. If a woman does these things, it's like the ultimate betrayal, and, you know, most men can't deal with that. They just can't fathom the idea that their wife was with someone else. But it's okay that you were with someone else. It's okay that, you know, your wife has to deal with that, but you don't care because she slept with one person and you slept with 50. And I'm just exaggerating the numbers, you know. But, you know, that's how it works. That's how the whole process works. But my thing is, how can you get beyond that? How can your marriage or your relationship, if, you know, we're talking about non-Muslim, how can your marriage or your relationship get beyond the point of infidelity? I mean, because I'm going to say this. With men, a majority of time with men, it's just, you know, you could do it. Or, you know, the woman that you were sleeping with or cheating with, she paid you some kind of attention other than what your wife was doing, or she fulfilled some kind of fantasy for you that your wife wasn't able to do or she didn't want to do in particular. When a woman cheats, it's strictly for emotional. It's strictly for emotional reasons in the most cases. It's strictly because she's not getting something at home and this person that's fulfilling that is fulfilling all of her emotions. Whatever she's feeling, you know, this man may take her out. He may, you know, bring her flowers, things that she will not get from her husband, even if she told him. Even if she told him, this is what I want you to do, this, these are the things that I like, and her husband refuses to do them. So here she has somebody who she doesn't have to tell them to do these things. He automatically does it. And this is why women cheat. It's for emotional gratification. Rarely is it just somebody just doing out there doing what they want to do, like, you know, like on a man's sense as far as fulfilling his needs, because a woman's mind works different than a man. Saying all men just go out there and cheat to fulfill their needs, I'm not saying that. Or just because they can, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying, you know, a majority of time it is because, you know, it was a prime opportunity for them to, you know, take that option to do that. So I'm going to open up the line now, so if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can speak. You can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through to hear your response. It's a very hard thing to get past the infidelity, even for a woman. When I went through this situation, I was devastated. I was at a loss, because you think that someone who is supposed to love Allah as much as you love Allah would not do these type of things to hurt you, to see you hurt, to see you cry, to see you in pain. Someone that loves Allah as much as you do would not cause these kind of things. You know, and I think that's where it's more hurtful, I think, in Islamic perspective, is because we know that when we get married, it's to complete half our deen. Half our religion is to be married to a spouse. A husband to his wife and a wife to her husband. So when we get married, when the nikah is performed, it is stating that we are going to work together to fulfill this role. We have to fulfill this role. So we're standing before Allah, we're our witnesses, and we're committing to fulfilling half our religion. And again, I believe the hurt comes in because you're supposed to love Allah more than you love me. You love Allah more than you love me because you want to complete one of the commandments of, you know, being a slave of Allah, you know, and that is getting married. So when infidelity takes place, more hurtful, because it's like, do you love Allah? Because if you loved the law, you wouldn't have done what you did. And, you know, it brings a lot of, you know, doubt in the relationship. You know, after these things happen, and if you're supposed to forgive this person, you have to try to work through it and move forward. But if that person is always giving you the feeling that something else is going on, you're going to bring up, women do this all the time, women bring up the past. The past is constantly going to come up. So my thing is, and this is something for the listeners out there, if you know that your spouse, your wife, is going to bring up the past, why do those things that you know she's going to speculate on? Because, you know, I say this, and this is just my personal feeling on this whole situation. A woman's intuition is never wrong. A woman's intuition is never wrong. Women don't speculate about things like, okay, I'm just going to get up this morning, and I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to say, okay, my husband's cheating, and I'm just going to, you know, cause and wreak all kinds of havoc on him and cause our marriage to be in disarray. I'm just going to do this every day because I just feel like this is what he's doing. I don't think women think like that. You know, like if your wife, she's calling your phone, you're not answering. And I'm not talking about she's being, you know, irrational or, you know, off the top, just, you know, calling 50 times a day or things like that. I'm talking about, you know, normally she calls you. Or normally when you leave the home, you tell her where you're going and things like that. But you won't answer the phone. You won't reply to her text messages. You're getting late night calls. There's all kinds of things that women pay attention to that would cause these type of, you know, speculation. And I know as Muslims, we're supposed to avoid these type of things. We're definitely supposed to avoid these type of things, but these are some of the things that eat at a person when they have been hurt in this type of manner. And, you know, for the sisters, there's plenty of people out there, women, you know, on a whole who cheat. Yes, there's women who cheat. So I'm not going to just, you know, keep speculating on the brothers or attacking the brothers. This is for the sisters, for sisters as well. You know, if you have a husband or, you know, you're in a relationship and you have done some kind of indiscretion towards him and he chose to forgive you for that, don't take that man's weakness, his kindness for weakness. Because it's very difficult for a man to accept that you have done something in this manner and to move forward. That means that man really loves and cares about you, and he's willing to put that to the side to try and work on the marriage. But if you are not willing to work on that marriage and you think that you will continue these indiscretions, then tell him. But don't keep putting him through the same kind of travesties day in and day out, you know, just tormenting him and doing things. You know, if you had the indiscretion on either side, find out what the problem is. Why did this occur? Why did it happen? Try to take every effort that you can to try and change that situation, to do something different than what you were doing that caused the whole situation to happen in the first place. It's not going to be easy. And one of the basic principles of having a good marriage and a good relationship is communication and trust. If you lack any one of those two, it's not going to be a good marriage. It's not going to be, you know, a good relationship. It's going to have its problems, and it's going to continue to be problems. Because if you felt as though that you needed to step out on your spouse or your husband, your wife, for any particular reason, I don't understand why it would be so hard for you to just admit it. That's something that, you know, I always wanted to understand, and I never turning to someone else to get the attention or to get that need that you needed from that person. Why not just tell that person? Why not just tell that person what the problem was and try to work on it versus going out, getting with this person and committing this grave sin. That's something that I just don't understand. Why not just go to your spouse and say, hey, look, we're having these issues, we're having these problems, and I really think it's time for us to sit down and work on these things and hash these problems out because, you know, this could lead somewhere that I don't want it to lead. And I think that, you know, if we both fear law and we love each other and we care about each other, we would try to work this out before it even escalated to that. But all too often people don't open their mouths to speak, and these type of things continue. The hatred, the animosity just continues and festers in the relationship, and, you know, it gets ugly. Another thing is, if you're not happy with your spouse, if you're not happy with their actions and the things that they're doing, and you want to be with someone else, why constantly drag that person through the torment and pain of your indiscretions? Why not just leave that person where they're at and move on to that person? If that's where you want to be at and if that's what you want to do, why not do that? Rather, you want to bring the person, your spouse, into the situation and wreak havoc on their life. You want to cause such turmoil and pain towards them that, like, you don't even care. That's something that I don't understand and I don't get, you know, for people who cheat. Just leave the person where they're at. You want to be with somebody else, then go be with them. But don't bring that person into that situation, and then once you get caught, you expect that person to forgive you and just move forward. It's very difficult. People, you know, trust is something that's easily lost but hard to earn. Because, like, you know, I always used to say this, you know, even when I went through my divorce, you know, I spoke to my mentor about the whole situation and how it went down, and I said, what did I do wrong? And what she made me do is she said, instead of you writing down your wrongs, write down what you did right. Write down everything that you did right, and I'll show you where you went wrong. And I took that as, it took me a minute to, like, gather myself, you know, when I was talking to her about this whole situation and how it went down, and I couldn't understand, like, what I did wrong. Like, what did I do wrong? And she made me write down what you did right. Write down everything you did right, and I'll show you where you went wrong. And she absolutely showed me where I went wrong from showing her what I thought I did right. So your wrongs ain't always your rights, and your rights ain't always your wrong. You have to figure out yourself. And I suggest that you have someone that you can talk to in confidentiality, you know, because these things, as Muslims, we're not supposed to state these things in our business and things like that. She's, you know, the person that I'm referencing, she's my mentor, but she's also someone who has a degree in psychology and things like that. So more on, instead of saying more of a mentor, you know, she's like my guidance. You know, I look to her for a lot of guidance, not so much particularly on a religious level, and she is Muslim, but I look to her as, you know, for guidance in a day-to-day relationship type level as far as, you know, how I handle my daily affairs and things like that. You know, a lot of times she'll tell me how to pull myself back, how to reel myself in, take a look from a different perspective on things. So, you know, those things, I really do appreciate her with informing me of those things and making me look at things in a different way. Because that's real important when you're going through, you know, a crisis like this, because you'll always think you know, what did I do wrong, and why me, and why did this happen? Why, you know, why would they do this and things like that? You'll totally beat yourself up on those things. And something else that, you know, my mentor, you know, and stated to me was, she was like, people, no matter if you do everything right, you're going to find something wrong. They're going to find something wrong because they need that outlet. They need a reason to do what they do. So you could do everything right, and because you did one thing, you could have put the toilet paper the incorrect way on the roll, and that was their reason for them to do it. And another thing that, you know, she talked to me about was, she said that not everyone deserves a second chance. Not everyone deserves a second chance. And, you know, she stated why. She stated why not everyone deserves a second chance. And also, as, you know, for her being such a true blessing in my life, she's one of those type of people where, you know, this is her first chance. If you're coming to her about marriage counseling and things like that, she will tell you, I will never tell you to divorce your spouse. And she didn't. She would never tell me, she would never tell me or tell anyone else to divorce their spouse. That's a decision that you have to take and make on your own. Something you should make istikhara about. And try to weigh the pros and cons, the plus and the minuses, with a situation like this. Because we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks down on divorce. This is something that he hates. He doesn't like divorce. And we know the shaitan loves divorce, and to see husbands and wives split and not have, you know, the completion of their deen. So what can we do to prevent these types of situations to occur? You know, a lot of people want to say that because social media has become so widespread, it allows people to cheat and do these things more widely and more have more ease and access to them. And I'll say this: if you fear Allah and you love your spouse, and even though that you may be having some troubles and things like that with your marriage, if you truly, again, fear Allah, love your spouse, nothing nobody says on an inbox, anything will faze you. You will not feed into it. You will not pay it attention. And you'll carry on. You know, of course, there are going to be people out there who will test you. And there are a lot of trolls. And I will say this. There are a lot of trolls and people who just like fitna, who love fitna, or want to see your marriage dissolve and become a disaster. Some people crave to see people in pain. Some people crave to see people with nothing, to be miserable and not have anything because they don't have anything. But these are the people that we need to be careful of, especially on social network. Because social network will be the demise of you, not just your marriage. It will be the demise of you if you let it. People used to come in when I was married. Brothers used to come in my inbox, say all kinds of things, this and that, and I used to ignore it. Never respond to it, never feed into it, things like that. And, you know, and that would be something that I could always say to my ex-husband. No man, no brother has ever come to you, call you, text you, inbox you, nothing about me being inappropriate with them or talking to them or conversate with them. Nobody can show you proof that I said something or I did something, can they? And the answer was always no. Why? Because I fear Allah. I'm not going to hold an inappropriate conversation with anybody because, see, these are the things that, you know, as Muslims, we don't follow. We don't follow certain things. Fornication is just not through penetration. And this is something I always say. You can have fornication of the eyes, lips, mouth, tongue. If your feet carry you somewhere where you know you shouldn't be going, that's a form. Your feet is committing fornication. Your mouth, everything. When you go in these sisters' inboxes and you say stuff to them, that's a form of fornication. But see, this is the type of things that we oh so soon forget as Muslims. We forget these things. We forget that, you know, approaching the sister and, you know, commenting on all her pictures and things like that is a form of fornication. And what does that lead back to? That leads back to you not having a fear of Allah. And some of these brothers, and I'll just be outright with it, a lot of these brothers knew I was married. Knew it. Would like the picture of me and my husband up? Be right in my inbox. How disrespectful. But when they came in my inbox, did I feed into it? Nope, I ignored them. But how disrespectful. And then, you know, sisters get into that situation. Oh, he can have four. But if he ain't even taking care of the first one, why would you want him? Sisters do the same thing right in his brother's inbox. He could be a shaitan, a living shaitan, and these sisters wouldn't care because they see you happy. And I always tell people to be careful of that. What he'll do for one does not mean he'll do for the next. And you don't know what they had to go through or, you know, experience to even have a moment of happiness. You don't know. Because, you know, Facebook and all social network is a game. People post all their highs, their smiling faces, and, you know, all the happy events. But what really goes on behind closed doors? A lot of us will never know. And if we base that premise of us wanting to have their happiness, then you're sadly lost if you're basing it off of Facebook. People don't pay attention to these things. All people want to do is be happy. And this is something that I always say. Everybody prepares for the wedding, but nobody prepares for the marriage. I know, and most people know, that every day is not going to be sun and flowers. A lot of days you're going to have a lot of rain and a lot of clouds. It's going to take a lot to make, you know, these marriages work in this day and age with so much distraction and so much fitna and things like that. You know, I'm currently intended to get married, and I can't even put on social network who I'm marrying. We're not even friends on Facebook because I can't put who he is or anything about him because the sisters will be in his inbox trying to marry him. Went through this whole situation. Sisters so much so saying that they will go to where he's at and marry him. And that I'm not a good sister. When these people don't know me from a can of Lucite spray paint, they don't know me, they don't know nothing about me, they don't even know my real name. They couldn't tell you anything about me. But they in his inbox telling him that I'm a bad sister, that I'm not good and they're better and he should marry them. This is what people do. So out of respect for both of us, this is what we chose to do. not say who we are intending to marry, have no association, not even be friends on Facebook or any social network, because the second that one of these sisters or brothers, because brothers have done the same thing to him, go in his inbox and tell him about himself. This is what we have to deal with in today's time, social networks. And people be like, oh, you shouldn't hide your marriage. And why shouldn't you? If that's going to protect you and protect your fitness, why shouldn't you? Oh, because, you know, according to Islam and, you know, Hadith, you're supposed to announce the marriage. Oh, I'm going to announce the marriage to friends and family and a handful of people that I know personally. I don't have to announce it to Facebook. Did that already, and then see where I'm at now, divorce. And social network had a big part in that. So I learned from that whole situation not to put it out there. And I think that's for the better in a lot of these situations. It's for the better because, you know, people are not always happy for you. And we have to be, you know, suspicious of the eye, because the evil eye is real, and people may even put the eye on you not being intentional with the whole situation. They may honestly be trying to be positive, but they put the eye on you. These are things that we have to extremely be careful of in this day and time. You know, it's not easy having a marriage in this time. You see marriages like a revolving door, revolving door, revolving door. You're like, oh, how's your wife such and such? Oh, I'm not married to her no more. You know, and it's a sad situation that, you know, the community has come down to this. But inshallah, things will get better, and we will learn from our mistakes and not keep making the same mistakes. Learn from the mistakes. Whatever you learned in your past relationship, that you apply it to your new, but you don't take it and use it as burden to your spouse, that you use it as a lesson to make sure that, you know, it doesn't happen in your next marriage. And, you know, you just try to keep everything positive and keep it in accordance with Islam. And, you know, that's all I can say is that, you know, it's your law. If you fear Allah and you try to do the things the best that you can in adherence to Quran and Hadith, I don't see where you could go wrong at. Again, if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you just want to speak, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. Also, if you're streaming live on the web, if you want to hit chat on the studio dashboard, you can type a message, and I can see it, and I can try to respond back to it. Marriage is a job in itself. Understand the real premise to marriage, not just marrying someone and you live together and you cook and clean for that person and, you know, you have sex with that person, you have children with that person and you raise them. Yes, that's the basis of marriage. But marriage is really a bond and a relationship that you have to form together with your spouse to try and complete half your deen. So that's not just, you know, the basic things. It's making sure you have the welfare, you have that person's welfare best welfare in mind, that you want them to reach the goal of being reunited in Jannah together by completing your marriage here on earth. So, you know, that's something that's very important that we have to try to understand, that it's not just about, you know, getting married, paying bills, living together. You know, it's forming that bond to really know that person from the inside and out. You know, some people know their spouse so well that they can tell that person, like, okay, I know what you was going to say, or I know you wanted this to eat tonight. Like, wow, how did you know I wanted that? Well, I know you. You're my spouse. You're my husband. You're my wife. I know you. That's where the real good marriages come in at, like where you can, oh, I know he hadn't had this in a while, so I'm going to make this for him for dinner. Or I know I seen him looking at, you know, looking at them sneakers that he wanted, but then, you know, he didn't get it because he said something else. So I'm going to surprise him and get him those sneakers. And then when he see that you paid attention to that, because that's what really helps a marriage, when you pay attention to your spouse. And I'm not just talking about paying attention to what they do. I'm talking about their mind, how their mind works. Those are things that I think highlight a marriage. I do see a couple people waiting to speak to me, so I'm going to go ahead and put you through. Thank you for joining Religion Means Alive. This is Sister Cordera.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Angela Marie from Providence, Rhode Island. What I wanted to say is that it's important to know your spouse, but I also found in my marriage that it's also important to have arbitrators from each side of the family members, from the husbands and the wives, that you can turn to for advice and for help. Because I had good support on my side, my relatives, my parents, and my relatives, and my sisters and aunts, and he had good people on his side, also his mother and father, that we could turn to for backup. And people that
right.
are just, they don't have to be Muslim, they could be non-Muslim, but people that are just and righteous regardless of what they believe in, and therefore right in every situation, because that's a big help. Because you're not
right.
just marrying that spouse, you are marrying the whole family. You are.
That's
and when
true.
You know, when
true.
You when you know those relatives, when you get to know them relatives, you will know more about about the husband or the wife, whatever stuff. You will know about, but you will learn so much. And it's
right,
good to
right.
have good arbitrators, at least one from both
right.
sides of the family, because they are support. They are
right.
really support, and they can help keep things together and mold and shape and best. And they can help you see things and understand things that you can't see. Whether you're a Muslim, I mean, you're a Muslim, alhamdulillah. But sometimes they can see stuff that you can't see and understand because they know that person. They, you know,
right?
They grew up with that person.
Right,
you know?
Right. That's
and,
true.
And also, the marriages that are strong need to get together with the marriages that aren't so strong and help give them support. Get together, have dinner, go out together, do things together, you know, and, you know, sit down and talk and help give each other strength and support. But
that's
we don't
true.
Do that. We don't do that too much anymore. You know, we don't
yeah,
really
that's
do
true.
That to them. We need to become families, you know, like families
right.
in our communities, in our ummahs. But everybody's mind your own business. You know, this is my business, that's your business.
Right.
And it shouldn't
right.
be that way. You know, when we make our shahada, we become Muslims, it's not no I thing no more. It's a we thing. You say, oh, it's a
right.
we thing. Everybody's business is everybody's business. you know.
That's
and,
true.
you know, we need to stop all this stuff. Oh, my business, this is my business, stay out of my business. Oh, no. What affects you affects me. What's good for you is good for me. What's bad for me is bad for you. And we need to find what we need to find a way to work together as a unit and have checks and balances, because we're all reflections of one another. But we need to see it like that. We're all supposed to be one family, you know. But I pray to Allah, inshallah, that we'll find a way back to that, because we lost it.
Inshallah.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Have a good evening.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, sister, for joining. Very good insight from the sister, and I appreciate you for joining the call. That was good information, and that's true. Like, you know, in today's time, we don't have that bonding support no more, where we would, you know, help marriages that weren't as strong as, you know, others, and help, you know, the marriage, you know, of our friends, you know, in situations like that where, you know, it would have helped if someone intervened, and as well as having, you know, family mediators, that's also important, you know, having someone to talk to. And that's absolutely correct what she said about as far as the family members not being Muslim, because majority of African-American Muslims, you know, their family doesn't have the legacy of, you know, being a third, fourth generation of Muslims. You know, that's very rare here in the United States. But, again, if you know, his mother or sister or aunt is still living, you know, and you're able to speak with them, that's a good way that you could get to understand your spouse better, because, you know, they know him, especially if it's his mother. She carried him. She knows her child. And I always say that about any parent. Parents know their children and know what their children are capable of and what they're not capable of, and know what their pet peeves are and what pushes their buttons. Parents definitely know those things, and they can help you work on those experiences that you may have or issues that you may have in your marriage. And, you know, that was good information that the sister shared with us. There's someone else. I'm going to put them through on the line. Thank you for joining Religion Means a Lot. This is Sister Caldera. Hello? Okay, can't hear you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Hello?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay, because I heard a man speaking too. Didn't you? Okay.
No, I don't hear anybody else.
Okay, I think Facebook is a gift and it's a curse. I'm going through a situation, a big situation now, mentally, physical, spiritually. You know, I've been beat up like 3 big times, busted nose, busted lips, eyes black, a big lump on my forehead, you know, and Allah had put, you know when you pray and you say, take away something that's not meant for me and put something that is good for me, right? So, you know, the situation was real bad this last time. You know, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving, because every day for a Muslim is Thanksgiving. So it was like the holiday, Thanksgiving Eve. So, you know, my mom's is a Christian, so I had to help my mom, you know, prepare some food. So when I came down, you know, to my home, because she like 5 doors away from me, I came upstairs and everything. My husband, he's, you know, Muslim too, and he's been drinking. And this man, you know, he prays and everything. He makes this a lot on time, you know, and he even has his prostate mark on his forehead. I'm not going to say that I don't love him, because I love him and everything. But, you know, when you help someone and they supposed to be, and they Muslims, they supposed to be graceful between them whites. And, you know, I ask Allah all the time to make things ease for us, make things ease for everyone in the world. And, you know, it's like, you know, we separated now, but we still, you know, battering and everything. I have order protection out and everything. So one day I was sitting at the computer, and one of the biggest arguments in marriages are about Facebook. I used to be playing my game, or I'm studying Islam on my phone. You know, my chat is always off for years. We've been married a year and a half and everything. So something said, go to the computer. And, you know, it's Allah speaking to me and showing me these things. And I logged on the guest because he always used the guest. It was open. You know, you telling, he's a manipulator. He tells women, oh, I want to marry you. You want to marry me. They saying the same thing. They love him, saying the sexual things. I mean, sister, there's sisters out here that Muslims, and they showing their body parts. Believe it or not,
yeah.
they send pictures. They say all sorts of things, and they know the man is married, you know?
Right.
And it's like, he knows he have a good woman at home. I mean, like 10 women. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting sick to my stomach just reading it and reading it and reading it. So it's been like, I guess, like 3 weeks. No, it happened that Thanksgiving Eve, right? So within 2 weeks, I look at the computer. He's inviting a friend from where he's at that he knew a long time. She still loves him. He still loves her. To go to the Days Inn, a hotel. She's not even Muslim. I'm like, you know, okay, they say you can have 4 wives and everything, but you have to be able to take care of the first wife. But there
right.
are also AIDS out there. You know what I
right.
mean?
Right.
And how can we these days go for a brother that's taking on all these wives and this disease out here? And then not only that, you know, you messing around with kufars that don't know the laws. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, you know, Islamic, you're supposed to keep your body halal, keep your body clean and everything. You don't run around in the street messing around with this one and that one. You know, us sisters, we don't supposed to do that, whether a brother, our husband cheat on us. We don't supposed to do evil with evil anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like Facebook, like I said, it's a gift and a curse. And what I'm saying about the gift is you can get knowledge, you know, wisdom and everything from Facebook, you know. But people use Facebook, these men and sisters, they use Facebook to break up marriages. You know, it's like the Satan becoming in between people. You know what I mean? And they say 1, 2, 3, always have to be 3 because, you know, so the Satan don't get, you know, in between
right.
the way.
Right.
Because when you go to the mosque, the brothers is one, you know, separated from the sister. I don't understand why, you know, these brothers and these sisters, they know this is how it is when you go to the mosque, you are separated. You got everybody
right.
mingling with everybody on Facebook, you know, but then when you go to the mosque, it's not even like that. You know, then you see,
right.
oh, this brother is married, this sister is married. I even had my husband, he even had on his page. And then not only that, they have multiple pages. You have a
right.
page with your wife on, and then you have the other pages with whoever you want to mingle with on. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, therefore,
right.
the other pages, they don't really know that you are married. You
right.
know what I mean? So, it's like, it's terrible because this just happened to me, and, you know, I even changed my last name. He got mad at me. He says to me, oh, I see you change your last name. and you're married, you're an Islamic whore. And then he says that I'm going to find a sister that carry my last name. He said, you're a dirty whore. You know, I've been, you know, calling all sorts of names and everything. And this man's supposed to be Muslim. You know what I mean? And this,
I don't want to cut you off, but I just want to, you know, we got to be mindful of the language. And also, you know, if we follow true Islam, the woman doesn't take the man's last name anyway. We keep our family name. So whatever your last name is at birth, we keep that name. We don't take on our husband's last name. You know, in Islam, and you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, this situation has happened to you and things like that, but we have to take this as a stepping stone and learn from this type of lesson. And you know, people are going to do what they want to do regardless. Again, like I said, you know, if you fear Allah, then you won't put yourself in these situations. So that goes to show me that your iman is not at the level that it should be. When you do these type of things, and when you fall into these categories, and when you degrade your wife or you degrade your husband, your level of Allah, love of Allah, is not where it needs to be or where it should be, because we should never want to purposely hurt our spouse, you know, in these type of situations. Thank you for calling in, sister. I'm going to put you back on mute, okay?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. You know, these are things, and it's very sad to see situations like this occur where, you know, husbands and wives are degrading each other or putting them in these bad situations and not having a level of respect for them at all. Just, you know, doing disgusting acts, you know, like, we need to learn that Islam does not play with these types of things. Marriage is a very serious situation. It's a very serious situation. And one thing that we need to be mindful of is that our limbs will speak out against us on the day of judgment, on the day of Yom Kiyamah. So if Allah didn't forgive you for a certain act that you did, you're going to be held accountable for that. And to purposely try to find all kinds of situations and all kinds of reasons to justify your actions of committing fornication, whether it's actual penetration or you're just conversing with a sister or a brother online, and you're trying to show all kinds of reasons why you can try to justify you speaking to a sister or a brother, you can go ahead with that. You can go ahead with that, and you can try to convince somebody else, but you're not going to convince Allah of that. Because at the end of the day, Allah knows your heart and knows what you were trying to conceal. You can't hide that from Allah. You can hide that from me or the next sister or the next brother. You probably can hide that from them, but Allah knows your heart, and you should fear Allah in these types of situations. Like, you should not play around with this. If you feel like you want to go step out on your wife or you want to step out on your husband, take them out that situation. Take them out that situation and spare them the hurt that you're going to cause if you do wind up committing this horrendous act against them. Because, you know, I always say this, what's done in the dark will be shown in the light. And not all the time, you know, when people say avoid much speculation and don't go snooping for stuff, Allah will reveal what needs to be revealed. Trust and believe me. For me, anyway, it's always been like that. I don't have to snoop for things. Allah puts it out there for me to see. Plain and simple. I don't have to go snoop. I don't have to look at nobody's phone. I don't have to snoop on nobody's page. Don't have to do none of that. The law makes it known from the start. It's known. Now, you know, as the saying goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You let somebody pull the wool over your eyes more than twice, you deserve everything that you get. And if you see, as much as Allah dislikes divorce, as much as Allah dislikes divorce, He will let you see that person for who they really are. That will be your choice if you choose to stay with them. Again, as I said in the past, I don't tell anyone that they should divorce somebody because I'm not in that situation. I don't know you. I don't know what the situation was. So I'm not advising anyone to say divorce your husband. I'm not saying it. Or divorce your wife. I'm not saying it. You should try to utilize every avenue that's available for you. So if y'all can't talk to each other, then, you know, talk to a family member that could be a mediator. If you can't talk to each other or talk to each other with a mediator, then next go to the masjid and set up an appointment for counseling to try to work things out that way. I mean, but exhaust all the resources possible in that situation. You know, try to exhaust all the opportunities that you can in that situation, inshallah. So on that note, I'm going to get ready to end the call. So if you have any questions you want to reach me, you can call me at 610-836-2120 or reach me via email, qamrma@gmail.com, and I'll follow back up with you as soon as I can. Stay tuned for future broadcasts to the show, inshallah. Thank everyone for listening. I appreciate your support. Assalamu alaikum and good night. I do it right.